Welcome to the Mojo Podcast with me, Richard Stokes. If you're listening to this in near real time, it's a few days until Christmas 2019, not far until the end of the year, and with that, the end of the decade. Can you believe it? So I thought a bonus episode might be interesting for all of you. No guests this week, but rather some thoughts and tips from me, part of what I'm calling the Mojo Toolkit. These will be episodes where I share some techniques for you to boost your mojo. Given the time of year, I hope you've got some time away from the demands of work. Depending what you do, of course, there's no rest for people in the emergency services, retail, or the hospitality industry, of course. But you might have a little bit more time now to listen and reflect. There might be a few long journeys to make. Perhaps you like having a podcast on whilst preparing meals. They certainly can be great multitasking accessories. So in this episode, I'm going to share two techniques I always use at this time of year. A means of looking back with gratitude on the year that's closing, and looking forward with intention for the year to come. So, as we're fast approaching the end of the year, we have a natural tendency to look back and reflect. And your media will be full of this too, list upon list upon list of the best and the worst of the year, and indeed the decade. Films, music, gadgets, quotes, mishaps, sporting moments, etc., etc. So maybe this onslaught of listing has you thinking about your own annual highlights. It can be great fun to make such a list, but how can you make it meaningful, and of course, to help enhance your mojo? So, my tip when looking back on anything, yesterday, last week, or the whole year, is to think about what you're grateful for. What has been most meaningful for you? What has made a real difference to your mojo? And turn this into a gratitude list for 2019. This is a fast-acting tool for personal transformation, and the act of writing down what you're grateful for is a massive mood enhancer. Now, if this all sounds a little self-helpy for you, don't worry, there is some solid research here to back up the value of reflecting with gratitude. Professor Robert Emmons of the University of California, Davis, has made it his life's work to understand the benefit of gratitude. He found that people who kept a daily gratitude journal for 3 weeks saw a 23% increase in life satisfaction scores. They exercised more, drank less alcohol, and their friends and family noted that they were simply nicer to be around. Plus, these effects lasted months after the exercise. But what to do, like me, if you haven't been journaling daily during 2019? How can you look back at the full year and get the same benefit? So here's my suggested technique. Write a list of 108 things you're grateful for. Okay, so let's start with the obvious question. Why 108? Broadly, there are three reasons why we like to use 108. 108 is a highly significant number in Eastern, specifically Vedic philosophy. There are 108 beads on a mala. This is a meditation necklace used to count mantra. The Sanskrit alphabet has 54 letters. Each has a masculine and a feminine, so that's 108. Okay, so that's a little too Eastern for you. How about some astronomy? The diameter of the Sun is 108 times that of the Earth, and the distance from the Sun to the Earth is 108 times the diameter of the Sun. Wow. And just on a more practical footing, 108 is a big enough number that when listing things you're grateful for, it gets you well past the obvious and gets you into more subtle realms and suggests areas of memory such as the taste of a really special meal or a sound in nature or the feeling of a particular experience you had. So 108 it is. Now I've been doing this technique for the past 4 years since discovering it on a trip to India. Generally, it's always taken me a few sittings, to be honest, to complete it. But given the time of year, we've got a little bit more time away from the demands of work. So grab yourself a non-work related notebook, ideally a new one, and hey, maybe it's Christmas, maybe it was a present, and find as comfortable and quiet a spot as possible. Think about the people, the moment, the experiences, lessons, wisdom that you feel grateful for this year, and write them down. Generally no more than one line for each. We're not talking about a paragraph or a page per, because you'll be at it for a really long time, and I don't want there to be any barriers for you. So usually you'll start really fast. Maybe there'll be 20 or 30 gratitudes you'll write without your pen even leaving the page. But at some point, your flow will dry up. But don't worry, this is part of the process of accessing your deeper conscious mind. Maybe looking back at some photos will help, or a chat with a partner or friends will stimulate more thought. But don't force it, do what works for you. Go for a walk in nature, have a cup of tea. Maybe take a shower, because all our best ideas come from having a shower, right? Before you know it, 106, 107, 108 gratitudes, and you're done. Congratulations. Now, read that back slowly. See how you feel. Remember, this is a natural mood enhancer. Gratitude kills self-pity, jealousy, bitterness, regret. And here's a further thought for you. If you're grateful for a person in your life, why not tell them? Gratitude is an amazing gift to offer. And look, if you're a bit uncomfortable doing this face-to-face, don't worry, maybe a letter or a card or even a WhatsApp message. Share that gratitude, good feeling. Okay, we've now felt the benefit of looking back at the year gone by with gratitude, but how about the year to come? Of course, in many cultures, the idea of making New Year's resolutions is pretty well set. There are whole industries based around this. In early January, you'll be inundated with diet, fitness, mental health suggestions as soon as that Christmas fog has cleared. New year, new start, new me. And that's all good. The thing is, often a single big, audacious New Year's resolution won't see February. There are many claims into the lifespan of the average New Year's resolution, but by mid-January, many of our resolutions are a faded memory or a costly gym membership chipping away at your bank account. So here's the tip. Instead of one big resolution, to stop something or start something else, think about a series of intentions instead. Now this is a subtle but important change in language. Intend to versus resolve to. Somehow making it a little less hard work. Somehow you're less likely to beat yourself up over an intention, I think. Plus intent is a very positive forward-facing verb. Resolve seems to be more defensive to me somehow. And here's the suggested technique. There's another key number here. No, you'll be pleased to know it's not 108 intentions, but it's a related number. Divide that by 12 and you get 9. Yes, setting 9 intentions for the year ahead is a great way to give yourself a clear direction of some projects you want to start or complete, a relationship you want to focus on, dreams you want to come true, habits you want to begin or maybe lose, places you want to go, or how you want to be or feel. Because there are 9, the chances you won't crack all these intentions, but you've taken the first step in thinking about them and writing them down. Looking back at my list from last year, I'm at about 80%, which is my best in years. And guess what? One of them was to start this podcast, which I only did in early December. So you've got the whole year to start, not just from January the 1st. Over time, it's worth noticing the intentions you always make but don't end up doing. Why is this? There will be reasons. Maybe it's just not the right time, or in fact, the right thing for you. Okay, I hope these techniques for looking back with gratitude on the year gone by and setting intentions for the year to come are useful for you and help you keep your mojo flowing. Whilst I don't publish my lists, you won't be surprised to hear that this podcast is both a source of gratitude for me, and I'm so grateful for the feedback today, all the subscriptions, the 5-star ratings and wonderful reviews that you've shared, and of course the time for my fabulous guests. And I intend to keep this going into 2020 and share more Mojo stories here every week. And with that, the Mojo podcast will return on January the 6th with another brave, fascinating guest. Until then, have a wonderful festive period full of joy and love, and I hope your mojo continues to flow into 2020 and beyond.